I'm Joan Bird. I am a professor of art at Western Carolina, and I've been there for many, many years. I have been there since 68, and I have taught ceramics there, not glass, but I have been involved in organizing a number of glass exhibitions for Western. And
ceramic artist, glassblower, sculptor in glass, and educator Harvey Littleton was born in Corning, New York. And his father was a research physicist with Corning Glassworks. So he was actually introduced to the world of glass as a very young boy.
He was, but in those days he did not believe, and his father, for one, was very outspoken about this. They did not believe that it was possible for a craftsperson to work with glass in their own studio. They thought that you needed the entire, you know, all the equipment, all the expertise of the factory behind you.
I mentioned that the father was a research physicist with Corning Glassworks, and he wanted his son to follow in his footsteps. He didn't choose that path.
Well, Harvey was his youngest child, and he really wanted one of his children to go into physics. And Harvey started off at the University of Michigan in physics, but gave it up when he realized that he was not doing physics for fun. What he was doing for fun was art.
Littleton graduated from the University of Michigan in the late 40s, but his passion was clearly art.
Yes.
So after graduating from the University of Michigan, where he majored in industrial design, he became a ceramic artist and earned an MFA at Cranbrook Academy of Art. He then joined the faculty at the University of Wisconsin. In the late 50s, while on leave from the university, he went to Europe to study ceramics. And while in Europe, he rediscovered glass. How important was that time in Europe?
Oh, it was extremely important for him. He studied, He worked in a folk pottery in Spain for several months in 1957, and then decided he could no longer stomach the repression of Franco over there, and so he decided that what he was going to do is take his family with him around Spain and Italy and so on. And in Italy, he became absolutely fascinated with the small glass operations that he saw there, and he realized at that point that he could get build a small furnace that would fit into a studio in the United States. And so when he came home, he began melting glass, and everything takes off there.
What was the secret, then, to his contribution to the studio glass movement?
Well, since I was there at the time, I really believe that Harvey is the most responsible person. He's usually considered to be the founder of studio glass or the father of studio glass. He taught two workshops at the Toledo Museum in 1962. He had tried to get grants to fund him starting a glass program at the University of Wisconsin, was unable to do that. And since he knew the director of the Toledo Museum of Art, he was invited there to teach a couple of workshops, which he did. Then they were very successful workshops. So the University of Wisconsin said, all right, we'll let you teach glass this semester. As an independent study course, he did that, and that was successful. So he taught two classes that year at the University of Wisconsin, although they were in his home studio. That was fall of 1962 and spring of 1963. And I was part of that workshop. It was a very exciting time, although I must say none of us had the faith that Harvey had, that glass was really going to take off.
Littleton moved to Western North Carolina in the mid-70s. What brought him to the area?
Well, he came here. Actually, I invited him down. I was organizing glass exhibitions for the university at that time. And in 1976, we had the second exhibition in that series. And I invited Harvey to come down and essentially be the keynote speaker. And we had him also exhibit at that point with the glass artist from North Carolina. And he did that. He became excited about the area. He and his wife. His wife was from had been born in Hawaii. He and Bess traveled a little bit in Western North Carolina when they came down. He actually arrived at a really difficult time as far as the weather was concerned, but he thought after Wisconsin that it was a pretty fine climate, and he and his wife decided that they wanted to move to the Pentland area. He had friends in the Pentland area. That, of course, is where the glass community in North Carolina is centered.
What do you think made him special?
Oh, well, a friend of mine who knew Harvey just wrote to me and said Harvey was a giant and a gentleman. And I think that expresses things very well. But Harvey was also a fighter. People laughed at him. The people at Corning laughed at him for trying to bring glass into the studio. Many of the potters he knew were laughing at him at this time because he was so insistent that glass was a viable medium. And unfortunately, in a sense, the very success of the studio glass movement has made it almost impossible for people to believe that he started out when he did with really nothing going on with hot glass in a university studio or the studio of a craftsman in the studio movement at that time.
Today, glass as a medium for contemporary art seems pretty commonplace, but it really wasn't that long ago that hot glass working techniques such as glass blowing were confined to large factory facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really his major contribution?
Oh, absolutely. That is, yes, that is his major contribution. Also the fact that he pushed for glass to be considered to be a fine art medium, not simply a craft medium. And that was extremely important. He told us as students that he did not want us selling our work for what we were selling our pottery for at the time. He wanted to be clear that glass was considered to be a fine art medium. What he worked in with glass primarily was sculpture. Early on, he did functional forms as well, just learning the techniques of glass blowing. But he was primarily interested in glass as a sculptural medium. And he certainly is known not just for his teaching, but also for the work that he did.
Many of the names we associate with the studio glass movement were his students.
Dale Chihuly, I was in a class with Dale Chihuly. Dale Chihuly, I should explain, started a Pilchuck Glass School in Seattle, Washington, on the coast, which is very, very important internationally as a glass school today. And then Marvin Lepofsky was in the very first glass class with me, and he started glass on the West Coast. In California. So many of the very, very prominent names, and some of the North Carolina glassblowers worked either with, or many of them either worked with Harvey or worked with students of Harvey.
Including Mark Pizer?
Including Mark Pizer. Mark Pizer started at Penland School working with a student of Harvey's. Well, actually, the whole story is Penland wanted Harvey to come down and introduce glass in 1965, and Harvey had already made plans to go to Europe at that time, so he sent Bill Boyce. Bill got the glass program started on, what the director then said, a shoestring and a license to steal. Meaning steal from other parts of Penland School. And so on a very, very small budget, Bill Boysen started a program that Lars is really thriving to this day.
Do you think that the art world understands the contribution that Harvey Littleton made?
I hope so. But I do think, as you mentioned, the fact that Lars caught on as it has done makes Harvey's contribution almost inconceivable. The fact that Harvey really was the one who said, Marvin Lepofsky says, Harvey got glass and said, got his hands on glass and said to his students, this is for you. One of the wonderful things about Harvey is that he had such faith in his students, and his students have gone on to do absolutely wonderful things. Dale Chihuly, certainly among them.
As you said, a giant, a gentleman, and a fighter for glass.
Yes. Absolutely. And I'm very happy, David, that Harvey's receiving recognition in North Carolina, because he's lived here, or he lived here longer than he lived anywhere else in his life. And yet he's better known, very likely, in Europe than he is in North Carolina. Very well known in Germany, Denmark, France, and so on. Harvey is a giant, or was a giant.
Internationally important.
Very, very much so.
When did he stop blowing glass?
He stopped blowing glass in 1990. And for one thing, and I hated that, I really wanted him to to be able to keep on a good deal longer, but he had back trouble, a stenosis of the spine. And I think that affected him, and so that he found it harder to work. And the thing is, but the thing about Dale Chihuly is that Dale directs other people to make his glass. And Harvey was never willing to do that. Harvey always had to be in there in the thick of things. Harvey always said that if somebody else were going to make your glass, it was like having somebody else make love to your girlfriend. he felt that you just had to be involved. To him, it was sort of a push-pull thing. He loved the whole process. He responded to Glass on a, you know, a momentary basis. You know, that's what glass blowing is like. And Harvey felt that that was totally essential. So I don't want to put Dale down, but it's a whole other way of working.
Definitely a hands-on artist.
A hands-on artist, and that's a very good way of putting it. The reason Harvey went into industrial design was that he wanted to go into art at the University of Michigan, and his parents refused to let him do that. So he went into the most hands-on process he could come up with that was involving technology. And so he came up with industrial design, and he worked as an industrial designer for a year or two before he got his MFA in ceramic. He comes from a family of teachers, and so teaching was always very important to him. And with Harvey, one of the most important things I think we probably should say is Harvey was not just interested in working with glass himself. There were many people interested in that, actually, at the time. They had not really gotten into it, but they were thinking about trying to do it. But Harvey was interested in founding a field, because he knew that if you did not have a lot of schools teaching glass, you did not have galleries showing glass, you did not have museums and all of that, you didn't have all the surrounding organizations, that glass would not really take off. And so that is really what Harvey was pushing for. He worked with the American Craft Council and so on. So he worked from the sort of political side of the craft as well.
Not only an artist then, but an advocate and organizer for the glass movement.
Advocate, organizer, absolutely.
Joan Bird is a professor in the School of Art and Design at Western Carolina University and author of Harvey K. Littleton, A Life in Glass. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
Harvey Littleton died at home in Spruce Pine December 13th at the age of 91. For WCQS News, I'm David Horand.